Ahoy.
Hey, brother.
Oh, jeez. If it isn't the Duke of the Dead Enders.
What? I don't know what kind of bug.
Hey! Hey!
I need to talk to the lawyer.
What happened? Maybe I can get word to him.
I would just like to know who on their high petty stool and decided to outlaw waterbeds.
What are you talking about, sir?
Well, now look, it's been a while since I talked to you.
Yeah, looky
my
here.
My cousin, I had to move out of my house and move into a different house.
You live in a trailer.
Yeah. Now, my home, what I thought was my home, I thought it was a gift to me, and now all of a sudden they're singing a different tune, saying, no, that's family property. And my cousin Marty just got out of prison up there. I believe it was the Indiana Boys prison, the reception facility or something.
Uh-huh.
And they said that I gotta move so that he can have.
Who said you gotta move?
My family.
Oh, so your family?
I guess on paper, my Uncle Billy still owns the home. I've been living there a long time now. Right. I know it was mine.
When was the last time you saw Uncle Billy?
The sheriff come up and put me out.
Wait a second. Who? Uncle Billy. Is he alive?
Yeah, he's an old mother.
Hey, stop cussing or I'm going to cut you off. Now, he's alive. Can you call him up? Does he know that you're living in the trailer?
Goddamn right. I called him afterwards. But one day the sheriff's department showed up and put me out. They said, you got to go.
What does this have to do with waterbeds?
Everything.
What do you
now,
mean?
Looky here.
You're telling me that they outlawed waterbeds.
They say I have to get out because they're going to send little Marty down here so he can move down here and get off drugs. And I told them that ain't going to happen.
Why can't you and Marty live in the same trailer? You got enough room for another person, don't you?
Yeah. Because they claim that they
Who's they? Who is they?
Whoever it is just got into Uncle Billy's head. I don't blame him. He's an old man, and they just feeding him a bunch of lies.
The only family I know that you have, buddy, is your half-brother, your mama, who married his daddy, and then Sissy.
It don't even have nothing to do with it. It's between me and Uncle Billy. And Uncle Billy turned senile. He's being manipulated.
And some member of the family is kicking you out so your cousin Marty can move into your place.
And I never even met this boy. I don't even know what his
problem
is. They say it's my cousin. I don't know if they can even prove that. And legally, I should be able to have a waterbed if I want one.
Look, is that why they're forcing you to move out? Because you got a waterbed in a trailer that can fall right through the trailer?
I'm looking over the lease, and I'm finding out this ain't no way to live. That you can't. They say you can't have a waterbed. That it's illegal. And then I'm responsible for this and that.
Yes, it's called the lease, you stupid idiot. You dead ender. What, now,
is your new place a trailer or an apartment?
It's a trailer. Now look, what's that?
What difference does it make if it's a trailer? And I was talking about my home, and then they tried to charge me some kind of bull called pet rent because of my dog.
The security deposit.
I never heard of this kind of bull before.
Hey, stop it.
Waterbeds.
Bob, you know what? I've had you go out and rent a place here and there throughout my lifetime, but I've never heard of this kind of nonsense. Pet rent. You can't have a waterbed. You can't have no.
Not in a trailer in which you're leasing it.
They don't want the waterbed because if the bladder ruptures, and they got to deal with the water damage.
Well,
if you owned your own home, then you can have your waterbed.
Yeah, if you owned it. And guess what? You didn't own your other one. Billy owned it.
I thought I did.
No, you didn't. You got any paperwork that proves you were the owner? No.
Look,
Yes, Billy's got paperwork.
I'll get a note from a doctor. I can't sleep on the water bed.
Marty's moving in.
There's certain things I can do on a water bed sexually that I cannot do on a flatbed.
Right.
They want me to pay rent for my dog.
It's a pet deposit.
They want to charge me $25 a piece for my dog.
How many dogs you got?
Three.
Three dogs? What kind?
Labrador. One's a Labrador, one's a cur, and one's an American Staffordshire Terrier.
And what are their names?
Larry Moe and Curly.
Now, let's start with your old place where Marty's moving in. Who owns it?
Well, now I called my Uncle Billy. And
does Uncle Billy own it?
I thought I owned it. Uncle Billy is his family property, and then I've had my time to get on my feet.
So, Billy, your Uncle Billy, the old man's telling you to get out now. Does Uncle Billy just own the trailer, or does he own the property underneath it as well? Because usually,
he owns a trailer because you got to pay, you got to pay your, you got to pay your fees and all that.
Because the trailer park, meathead.
You got to pay for hookups and the slab.
They own the land.
Yeah.
Uncle Billy owns the trailer, which has probably got an odor to it that is just beyond belief.
Hey,
what now? You shut up!
I took Curly to a very respected veterinarian, and he had a bladder infection. That is not his fault.
Now, Uncle...
Until I could save up enough money to get him a bladder transplant, that dog can't help it.
Uncle Billy has said that Cousin Marty can move in there. That's his call, not yours. You got to get out. Now, you are moving into trailer number two. You are renting that. With that comes a lease, you stoop. Yeah. Because Uncle Billy doesn't own it, you don't own it. The owner of the trailer owns it, and they have a lease that says, A, if you got a pet... Three damn dogs living in a trailer. A, if you got a pet, you have to pay a pet deposit.
I paid a $200 pet deposit. I understand that.
Okay.
They want me to pay $25 a head per month as pet rent.
Sure, that's probably to keep the carpets clean and keep everything like that.
That's a load of
Hey, if you get, if you,
I don't
if,
think, that, I don't think, you know what you're talking about, $75 a month. I don't even think the carpet costs $75.
Then it might not be the place for you. You'll get the $200 back after you leave. Now,
no, they never give that back.
Now, the waterbed, if it's in the lease that you can't have a waterbed in a trailer, not surprising.
I didn't read the lease till after the fact.
Well, that's your fault, you stupid idiot, you dead-ender.
Well, I got one answer for you.
What's that?
America.
America what?
Freedom, mother... Man wants a waterbed, man gets your waterbed. That's the way it is.
And then you can take the risk of having it in a piece of property that you own, but you don't own that trailer. You don't own anything. Uncle Billy owns
a waterbed.
You own a waterbed.
That's sure as hell do.
That's about it. Now,
and now I know there's somebody around here trying out to get me. Well, because at first I told him I only had one dog. And then somebody told him I had three. And then somebody said, hey, I think he's lighting off sparklers in there.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's a fire hazard.
So you got a fire hazard in a trailer that doesn't belong to you.
A
trailer's essentially made of cardboard.
You got it. It's like cardboard in your what? Like a welding torch in there. What are you lighting?
I like ambiance. And another thing they put in that lease is if I bring, some whore in here and she's here for more than 48 hours, she's considered a permanent resident. That's another $150 a month.
Yes, you can't. Most of these places, I think it's 3 days. If they're there over 3 days.
I don't know what it is, but I don't want to keep her.
Because you're on the lease as a single.
Yeah.
And you're bringing somebody in for 3 days.
Yeah.
Then they become a resident.
but I don't want her.
Well, then get her out before 3 days are up.
But I didn't know that at the time, and now they're trying to get me to pay another extra $150 a month for somebody that don't even live here.
That's if somebody lives there. If you're
How can they do that? There ain't nobody living here, but they said that she was here too long, and she got now as a permanent resident, and I kicked her to the curb.
How long was she there?
About a week.
Are you that stupid? Are you that thick? Has booze polluted that brain so much that you can't go at what?
What I want to know is how the hell am I supposed to afford $75 just to keep my dog, $150 for a lady that don't live here, and now I'm supposed to go out and get with some sort of waterbed insurance?
Yes, they've got it. And what do you pay for? What do you pay per month for the trailer?
Oh, well, the trailer itself is $100, but when you add on all this other stuff, it becomes cost prohibitive.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rock.
Stan here.
This is 86 calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
Les speaking.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Son of a bitch! Sorry! Sorry! I want to talk about stuff.
You can't.
I can't. You know, I'll just say this. And
Let me tell you this.
And I hope that Jack Ball's listening. You're a jerk, Dave.
No, he's not.
He's a jerk.
No, he's not.
I'm hearing more and more and more. I swear to God, I'm this close to cussing. He drives me nuts.
He's doing the best he can.
He's not doing the best he can.
He's doing the best he ever did.
My God! I can't talk about it. Why do you go and spring this on me? Because, well, I shouldn't be surprised.
Well, it's, what do you call it? Your natural adrenaline. I'm helping you with your natural adrenaline.
It's already at its peak. Now it's causing damage.
Welcome to the club.
Well, you know...
I don't like waking up yelling.
Do you think I like to start the show yelling? Hi, folks. I'm trying to stay calm.
You want me to answer that question?
What?
Never mind. You want me to... You think I like starting the show yelling? I said, do you want me to answer that?
You think I do like it? I don't like it.
Well, let's just start over. How would you like to start it?
I'd like to be in a good mood.
Let's just pretend you are.
No, I'm going to say something here, and I'm not going to let any dogs out of the pen.
There is no dogs. There are no pens.
We all know irresponsible Dave. And I'm going to say it. He's irresponsible. Bam! All through vacation,
He means well.
No, he doesn't. All through vacation, I had to go put out fires with him because I had the program director calling me. I had people ready to go.
But there's no real fire underneath it all.
Oh, look. No, that was
there's nothing really happening.
That was on something else.
Yeah.
Then yesterday...
He gets blamed for a lot.
Hey, big cut! Yesterday, a text comes to Haney that he effed up again. Now, this in the last week, that's number three. Now, I can't get into details, and Haney, I'm not going to break your confidence with something that's going on at your home.
He's trying to help.
No, he is not.
Yes, he is.
How can you... So, Haney comes in, and see, there's a whole show going on off the microphones, too.
It's not a very good one.
Not today, because...
By the way, as long as you're being negative, can I be positive?
No, I want one more negative.
All right. Jesus.
Haney, over vacation, reached out to the Jack Ball. He should have learned when he bought a boat and Dave couldn't do nothing about it.
Well, Dave was never the one that was going to do anything
about it.
He thought he could arrange it.
Yep. And did he?
No.
Thank you. So
Let's
just say he thought he could arrange something in the last few days. That
he's very eager to help, Stan.
He can't help. It's like some bum on the street. It's saying, "Don't worry, I can get your buddy out of jail." He's not a member of the police force.
I don't know that.
He might know a cop, but that ain't gonna get your buddy out of jail. He makes big promises to my friend over here. And not only is it, I can't do that, it's spun around so that it's going to cost my friend over here money that he shouldn't have to pay because the landlord's supposed to take care of it. All right, I'm going to... All right, it's all gone. What did I do wrong?
Sidebar.
Okay, sidebar. They never heard it.
because you'd like that to be true. I believe that. Just like my buddy would like to help me. I believe that.
He can't help you. Look, I'm trying to help you. Now, what happens there?
You know how you help me? Here's how you help me, and you do help me.
What?
You boil things down and explain to me just how effed I am and that I'd better be prepared for it. That's how you help me.
No, I'm not saying how effed you are. I'm saying he ain't helping you none. He's ruining it. And I want him to stop. Oh, if that's him, I ain't taking his call because I'm not supposed to talk about it.
No, you're not.
Well, he's got to stop calling then.
Go ahead, take his call.
He wants to talk about it.
I'm going to cuss today.
Is that him? Is that him? Hold on, is that him?
It's him, yeah.
Okay, now.
Jesus Christ.
Hold on. Now, look, he can't say that. Hold on, I'll take this. I'll handle this for you.
I didn't just cuss, did I?
Because no.
I thought about
no.
it.
No, I'll handle this. What do you want?
Don't give me fire!
Do I need to take that out, too? Oh, he's still there. Wait a second. Oh, yeah.
Calm down, Dave.
Hey, why don't you... What?
I am tired.
Are you going to talk to him or not?
I can't. He's yelling, and I don't want him to say anything.
Okay, let me calm down.
Why don't you shut up for a second?
Why don't you shut up?
Why don't you go clean up your vomit? You know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah. That's very funny. That, you know, you're such a practical joker.
I had an impractical joke.
Dave.
You're putting my name on billboards around town.
Dave.
Who's putting your name on billboards around
Dave,
town?
Dave, I was trying to tell him you're trying to help, and he won't believe me.
Because I am helping, man.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
He doesn't get the fact that I help.
What the hell is your problem? You're an idiot. You don't help nobody.
You're jealous because I don't help you.
I don't want you. Stay as far away from me as you can.
You're jealous because I don't help you.
I don't want you to. I want no help from you at all. I want you to stop ruining the reputation of this show.
I've been trying to tell him, Dave.
Now, Haney, can you verify this for me?
No, he can't verify it.
Yes, he can. When he called me on Sunday night, was I not at your house within 30 minutes?
No. No, it was Saturday.
Yeah.
Because
Sunday you were drinking.
No, I was doing a podcast.
Yeah, because Sunday and Monday you were incommunicado pretty much.
What were you doing?
Where?
That's right. Where?
Were
you breaking up anybody's party and vomiting?
Oh, my God, dude. I'm not crashing.
Maybe you're handing out phone numbers to program directors.
I'm not out crashing funerals. I don't even have anybody's phone number. They won't let me have nothing.
Then why do you have 7 phones?
There's reasons.
Yeah, what are the reasons? You know what? All of them not good.
I'm not a bad guy.
Oh, you are. You're bad.
Nah, you can't say he's a bad guy.
Yeah, you're a bad guy.
Let me tell you something.
He's a good guy.
I bring cheer to people.
No, you don't. Then why am I getting phone calls? Why do I get phone calls?
Just like the time when
I get phone calls about you? I don't care if it's bosses, if it's coworkers, if it's what?
Well, I expect that. That's a natural thing.
Yeah, now, because you're effing up.
Now listen to me. I have delivered gifts.
Gifts?
The Variety Club.
What? What is he doing?
I don't know.
Delivering gifts?
I don't know at the Variety Club.
To the underprivileged children of not only Southwest Florida,
what?
But in the Atlanta area. I went out.
See what I'm talking about? You're making no sense.
Because I went to the ghetto and popped my trunk. And was getting drunk.
What? He went to the ghetto and popped his trunk.
What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means, and he's helping the people of Atlanta.
Yeah, I thought it was children. Kids.
Yeah, it's children. Kid, but children.
The kids, man.
In the ghetto?
In the ghetto, yeah, man.
And that's why you're drinking to excess, vomiting, and promising things you can't come through on?
No. That's depression. That's, you know, mental depression.
He's a good guy. Yeah. Why can't you
How
just,
is this good? You know, how is this good?
He's a good guy.
Yeah. And stop handing out private phone numbers to listeners.
Dude, I'm not allowed to have Zito's number. Remember, you guys made me.
I made him delete it in front of Zito. Uh-huh. He couldn't have had it.
He can get that back.
I can't get nothing back, dude. I don't have it.
That's not what I hear.
Well, I do know this.
Oh, God, dude, this is insane.
Whatever.
You know what, dude, I cannot wait for Friday.
Whatever Dave had to begin with, I know he can't get it back.
Right. Oh, and by the way, Dave, I can't wait for Friday either. Because
why?
Oh, you're gonna have to wait and find out.
Dude, don't hurt me, man.
Who's gonna hurt you? You've hurt enough people around here. Why would I want to hurt you? You know what you've done? You know what you've done? And I'm gonna say it again. You've hurt people around you.
Okay, you know what?
Why is it so hard for you to believe he's a good guy?
No, he's not. Let me explain this. And I'll say it. When somebody tells you something, you come and tell me something. Junior comes and tells me something. Zito comes and tells me something. Now, it may be inaccurate, but when you go and tell me something, I'm taking what you say as the truth or as you see it. When he comes to me and tells me something, that's not the natural response. The natural response when he tells you something is that it's a lie. And then you have to go and prove it to be truth. Instead of, well, geez, that wasn't so, Dave. Well, I thought it was. Okay. I know, but you believed it. You immediately, the first words out of his mouth, you assume it's a lie.
I thought when you assume something,
you make an ass out of you and me. By the way,
so what's the right call there? It sounds like you're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't.
No, it's just to keep him as far away from me as possible. Because let me tell you something. You came in today in a very bad mood because he said something. Not because I said something. Not because anybody said. Because he said something to you. Are you going to deny that? By the way, what's this world coming to when Trump is laughed at the UN, Cosby's a violent sex predator, and Kavanaugh has to admit on national television he was a virgin in high school? What is this world coming to?
And Ted Cruz can't go to an Italian restaurant.
No. We'll be back.
Hey, this is market manager Brad Beasley. You know, I used to listen to Stan and Haney for many, many years.
You sure did.
But quite frankly, I don't listen to Stan and Haney anymore.
Okay.
And I don't like them.
No.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Tuesday edition, that means Mike Chiannopoulos in about 1 hour. He'll be taking your phone calls and helping you out with your legal situations. I don't know anybody that doesn't have something going on where they couldn't use the advice of an attorney.
Indeed.
Because, you know what? There's some people, you just heard them introduce our segment here, Brad. They have attorneys.
On retainer.
You don't. I don't. And that's why Mike Chiannopoulos comes in each and every Tuesday for just, give me a little peace of mind.
We have him on retainer for you.
Yeah. He's on retainer for you. About an hour taking your phone calls. Also, 4 o'clock safe word could get you $1,000. And then later on today, Stan's name that movie. Today, movie Tough Guys. We'll play a scene from a movie where the actor...
Charles Kersey?
Tough guy.
Charles
I Kersey. Cannot say...
I heard he was an architect.
Yeah, I can't say.
I don't know why everybody gets this idea about him.
I can't say.
I don't know why it's just... What would an architect have to do?
Grab bag brought to you by the pewter mug. New location just opened right next to Bernie's City Diner in that plaza. If you want to know where it is, US 41 in Naples, right next to the new Mercedes dealership. That's where the pewter mug is. Their phenomenal response to their new opening.
That's awesome. Good for them.
Oh, look at this. It's our girl's birthday.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
It's my birthday. Gifts from friends and family. I'm so excited to unwrap and see what the... A t-shirt that says Live, Laugh, Love on it? Really? Have I come to this? And why do all the three-word sayings now have periods after every word? Best period movie period ever. Period. It's overdone. This period shirt period sucks. Period. I can't wear this. I mean, Live, Laugh, Love can't possibly sum up life for people, right? It leaves out so many important things like donut and binge watch Gilmore Girls. People even get tattoos of it. That's worse than having a bumper sticker express your feelings.
My other car is a boat.
Really? Well, you drive like you're fishing. All right, maybe this next gift will be better. Oh, it's another saying t-shirt. Cocktail time, with pictures of martini glasses. Well, this is what happens when you tell people you don't want gift cards.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
I won't read what that one texter has to say about Dave. I won't.
He means well.
Fine. I can put together 20 people. You'd be the only one that says it.
You know, what happened to due process?
All right. You're going to hear something here. Haney, I'm giving you a fair warning. There were two tornadoes in Canada on Friday, and a woman posted a video from her car where she was caught in the middle of one of these tornadoes. She's screaming. There's shattered glass all around her from her car windows, all over the place. Yet somehow, again, attention-seeking, somehow this woman still managed to pull out her cell phone and get video to post on YouTube.
Oh, oh my God.
I warned you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Still managed to get that on YouTube, though.
Tranquilo. There's no more of that, is there?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know if you have seen the footage, but I want this girl to sing the national anthem at an NFL game. Maybe one of those big cities where most of the players or a good chunk of the players still kneel, and tell me how they would feel. This is a 7-year-old Asian American girl.
Yeah, but she's going to go to college one day, yeah. And she won't do that anymore, Stan. Don't worry about it.
7-year-old Asian American girl named Malia Emma. She won a contest to sing the national anthem at an LA Galaxy soccer game.
Does she know what that song is representative of?
She's amazing. And I'd like to see some of these big 300-pounder NFL guys kneeling for when this girl is singing. Here she is, won a contest. She's only 7.
For the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Yeah, go ahead, kneel for that one. She was amazing. Just a little half pint. Adorable.
It's a lot of octaves for 7 years old.
Yep. To you have a stellar record in the judicial system.
You're one of the most respected judges. I appreciate it, Stan.
You've been nominated to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
And you have to admit this on national television.
People generally in high school, I think all of us have probably done things we look back on in high school and regret or cringe a bit. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an allegation of sexual assault. I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter.
Through all these years that are in question, you were a virgin.
That's correct.
Never had sexual intercourse with anyone in high school?
Correct.
And through what years in college, since we're probing into your personal life?
Many years after. I'll leave it at that. Many years after.
Wow.
I don't know what you want the guy to do or say.
And can I just say this? I'll play the clip. This is leading to the clip.
He's not been ambiguous about anything.
What about Brett Kavanaugh's wife and their children? What about the Me Too movement on this, on what you're putting this woman through when she has to go and answer a question on national television like this?
It's very difficult to have these conversations with your children, which we've had to have. Some broader terms for our youngest, but they know Brett, and they know the truth. And we told them at the very beginning of this process, this will be not fun sometimes. You're going to hear things that people feel strongly, and you need to know that. And just remember, you know your dad.
Think about her. Think about his family. Me too. Destroying a life. Lives.
Yeah, well, he's a big, fat Christian target, isn't he?
I admit I'm one of these. A golf...
They make him go on TV.
Yes!
And say, yeah, I was a virgin at that time.
A golf fan did this. And I admit I was one of them. He took little clips over the past 5 years... of sports announcers.
Saying Tiger's a bum?
Yep.
Can Tiger Woods compete with the Justin Thomas's, Jordan Spieth's, Dustin Johnson's? No, is the short answer.
We sure get this question a lot. Do you think he'll return to his previous form?
No. Do you think he stands a chance of being the Tiger Woods we once knew?
No.
No, no, no. Here's what's going to happen. He is not ever going to win another tournament.
I don't think we'll ever see Tiger Woods win a golf tournament again.
He's showing up at these tournaments pretty much knowing that he's not going to be there.
The short game is gone. His health is gone.
The next press release Tiger Woods should release should be, I'm retiring.
I have considered him now for the last 5-6 years a former golfer.
You're washed. Just give up while you're ahead. Retire with some dignity.
Tiger Woods that we all knew, he will never, ever be that guy again.
He won last week.
Making Daddy proud again.
All right, listen up, yup. Yup. Listen up, you millennials. You know, it's all about keeping yourself clean. James Corden had Tiffany Haddish on last night, and...
Am I supposed to know who that is?
Millennials.
Who's Tiffany Haddish?
Well, you know who Tiffany Haddish is, don't you?
I've never heard that name in my life.
Really?
Thank you.
She's a big star.
Okay, well, that's what I needed to know.
Yeah.
Because it's me, not her, right?
Yes.
I'm supposed to know
You're
who she
supposed
is.
To know.
Do you know who she is?
No.
Okay.
But she was on James Corden, and she said she would have liked to have been.
Is she a stand-up comic, or?
Do a run on her. Before I even play this, I want to... There she is.
Okay.
And she is what?
Singer?
Singer, dancer.
Comedian, actress.
Actress? What's she been in?
pulling up the trusty Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, I need a.
I hope she doesn't.
She was in the film Keanu. Wait, the television drama.
No, look. Keanu is the name of an actor. You're reading it wrong.
Yeah.
No, that's the film.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
Jordan Peele and Michael Keegan Scott or whatever.
What else?
You're talking about the Comedy Central show? That's not a movie. That's a TV show.
No, they did a movie called Keanu. It stars a cat.
They did that funny bit about the football players.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we know who she is.
She used to be on the Keegan and Peele show.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think you're right.
Okay.
She said she wanted to be a sex ed teacher. And yeah, she's in that millennial range. She has advice for young girls, young women, and young men. This was from James Corden.
If you were a teacher in real life, what subject would you teach?
I would teach sex education. I'd be a sex ed teacher.
What would that... Lesson one is, what would you do?
Lesson one would be hygiene, because good hygiene equals good sex, right?
Amen.
I would tell the women, the young ladies in my class, like, look, you're going to have to take a bath at least once a week. You got to drown it, okay? You got to drown it. And put like a half a box of baking soda in there and get the pH balance right, okay? You want to keep your pH balance on deck. And fellas, you need to go ahead and put that hot dog in some hot water. Soak that thing in some baking soda as well. You scratching? That's yeast. That is not just jock itch or whatever. You're not trying. You yeasty, sir.
A little advice.
And so she's an actress, comedian, and educator.
Well, she wanted to be an educator. Yeah, hey, everybody, we're well aware of Bill Cosby and the sentencing. We're well aware of it.
How does that even happen?
And, of course, breaking news. One person's still a little behind the curve. Breaking news, Bill Cosby sentenced to 3 to 10 years. No, he got 3 years. And everybody's cheering. That's a life sentence
I'm not cheering.
And I am not either.
So, did he murder somebody?
No. Tonight, season 22 of South Park begins.
No way. Yeah. Now, there's some good news. Way.
It premieres tomorrow night. The first episode.
You remember, it was a much different time. And it was not the Stan and Haney show then. We worked with someone else who was the leader of the show. And I had the opportunity, the day before South Park premiered, to have both Trey Parker and Matt Stone on the show. You remember me presenting that idea?
I sure do.
And the answer was, wait a second, this is a cartoon?
Yeah.
No. No.
We're up to season 22.
I had them booked.
Yeah.
But then again, you remember that we had Bill Cosby booked, and we're told nobody knows who that is.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about today?
The truth. Again, I don't want to go back down the rabbit hole and get all...
Just always remember...
I don't want to go back down
always
there.
Always remember, we're in the radio business, not the computer business.
Yep. Season
that
20.
That was drilled into my head on threat of being fired.
Yep.
I need to get my head around it.
Forget about this computer. Forget about this streaming stuff.
It's a fad.
It's a fad. We're in the radio business.
Yep. Now get to work.
And unless you want to be on the outside looking in, get to work.
Yeah, unless you want your future to be in the computer business, you better concentrate on the radio business. God, if my future had been in the computer business, Stan, we'd want for nothing.
Yep. Season 22 of South Park premieres tomorrow night. The episode, school shooting. Yes.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know either, as you'll hear in this preview. Hold on to your hats. Season 22 preview airing tomorrow night. South Park. Fair warning.
Stanley? Well, Do you want to tell your father about what happened at school today?
I flunked my math quiz.
No, the other thing!
What other thing? What happened at school today?
Oh, the school shooting?
Yes, the school shooting!
Oh, yeah, some kid shot up the school.
Who shot up the school? Was it you?
No.
Did you get shot?
No.
Oh. Well, what's this about failing a math quiz?
God bless those guys.
Yeah, Cosby gets three.
And look who is there in Norristown, Pennsylvania to celebrate.
Gloria Allred.
Unless Lisa Bloom has aged horribly, I believe that is Gloria. You can't tell them apart sometimes, you know, with a soft lens. You know, that Barbra Streisand lens they put on him sometimes. That's cruel and unusual punishment, man.
Yes. They have to...
You see what they're doing?
They have to do this.
They are taking him into custody. They don't have jail guards. They got a couple of cops. Mm-hmm. And then about five or six people with windbreakers on that say medical.
Yeah, because he's 81 years old and
he's blind. What is this proving to anybody?
I don't know. Now, I've got to be so careful in saying this, but I'm going to tell you.
This is outrageous.
The past couple of days, when this is all leading up to the sentencing, there is not a middle-of-the-road person. I'm not talking extreme right or extreme left. And this topic comes up because you're in a bar, you're in a mall, you're in a shopping center where they have the TV department with the big HD things. You're in the warehouse stores where it's all on. So there is not a person, man or woman, that I have talked to that doesn't sit right with them. It doesn't sit right with them. Is this who you want to get your revenge out on?
And remember where this came from. This was not initiated by a victim or law enforcement.
No.
This was a comedian by the name of Hannibal Buress.
Yep, that started it.
That went after Bill Cosby, and now he's in jail?
Yep.
Are you effing kidding me?
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Freak. And now, back to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock. Everything that rocks.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Telephone number into the studio if you'd like to talk to us. We've got a few minutes to take care of that. Area code 239-277-9600. You contribute to the show. You could pick yourself up a prize. We've got some great prizes. And if you want to call in and tell us what's on your mind, love to hear from you. 277-9600 outside of our immediate area. That's why I give out the 239 area code. If you're streaming us, listening to us on an app, listening to us on a device like an Alexa or something, give us a call. We'll give you a stick pin where you're listening, where you live. I'll go over the prizes in just a second. Haney. And I think this bears repeating, and I know that this one texter isn't the only one that is wondering this, but we have a texter from the Absolute Law text line. Haney, what did you mean that the Bill Cosby thing was started by a comedian? Please finish that story. And I even had to explain to Junior.
People
about,
really don't know that.
But there's a good. I'll bet you there's a chunk of people that don't even know how the Bill Cosby thing started.
This whole thing started because prior to all of this controversy, Bill Cosby took a lot of heat because he is considered to be a leader in the African American community.
Yep. Pull your pants up.
And many times he would say, take a look in the mirror. Take some responsibility for yourself. And a lot of people did not appreciate his line of logic.
Yeah.
Saying self-responsibility.
Raise your family. Go to school. Learn. Pull your pants up.
These don't seem controversial, but they were. And at that time, it was several years ago. At that time, he was a young up-and-coming comedian, Hannibal Buress. And I believe it was in Philadelphia that Buress was on stage doing a comedy show. And he made a comment to the effect of, yeah, Bill Cosby's going to tell us what we ought to do. Yeah, I don't think so. Bill Cosby raped a woman. And people went, what?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this whole deal with Bill Cosby and Andrea Comstad goes back many, many years. And it was considered a he said, she said. There was a civil suit. It was settled. And it was thought that was the end of it. But because this comedian made that comment,
kind of went viral.
And a lot of younger people had never heard of this story. The rest of us knew all about it. It was investigated. The authorities did not have enough to charge him. There was a civil suit. It was settled. That was supposed to be the end of it. But this comedian makes this comment, and people that were not familiar with that, well, here we go into the Me Too era.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, what, 80, what?
81.
81 and blind and is being imprisoned and treated as a violent sexual predator.
Yeah, that's what he was labeled, a sexual predator. And reporting
no,
now.
No. A violent sexual predator.
Can't control his impulses. That's what it labels him as. And just now, and denied bond during an appeal. So I think he's got to go and start serving immediately.
And you having a legitimate background in psychology, you know who those laws are intended for. And more often than not, they walk.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Cosby, it makes no sense for him, of all people, to be put into prison. Is he a perfect man? No.
Far from it.
I don't think any of us are. But I'll tell you this. If you look at the contributions that Bill Cosby has made to society versus any indiscretions that may have taken place in his life. And remember, a great example is, you brought it up, this article in Esquire magazine by this guy who believes that Naples is where the devil lives,
mm-hmm.
that it's a horrible, racist place because he works for Domino's. And you are applying this set of rules that still half the population doesn't know exists.
It's true.
You're applying this set of rules to people that are operating in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and society is in a different place. Society hasn't yet been taken over by the left wing. And it really is just insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's why Bill Cosby is in jail directly, is because a comedian brought up something that had been settled. And how is it that authorities at the time this offense allegedly happened, said, we don't have any crime that we can charge him with. There was a thorough investigation. Cosby cooperated. And I think it was during the civil trial, he gave all kinds of depositions where he was completely open and honest about his entire life. And like, hey, you know, that's the way things were at that time, you know, when you're in show business and there's a partying going on, this is what happens.
Can I give you a great example of that? And we're watching the end of an era. I mean, we saw Playboy magazine, which is virtually going under right now because nobody buys it. And it went from the nudes, and then it was the clothes, and now they went back to the nudes. Now the magazine's going out of business. If you want to do this, I'm not saying do it, but if you go and pull a Playboy magazine from the 1970s, they had a front section in the magazine before they got to the profiles and the centerfold and all that. Things happening at the Playboy Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
It was the spot to be and to be seen in the 1970s to be at the Playboy Mansion. And every issue used to have a little section of photographs from the Playboy Mansion.
At the beginning of the party.
At the beginning of the party. And literally,
Before anybody made their way to the grotto.
Yep. And they'd pair off and they'd go and orgies, you name it. And that was what it was. Quaaludes, all kinds of, in those days, Valiums. Ooh.
The sexual revolution.
The sexual revolution. And you look at the photo array that would be in a 70s Playboy magazine, and it would be every celebrity under the sun in
You're
a
talking
pool.
About like a Bob Culp.
Yep. With Playboy bunnies all around, mm-hmm. nude women running all over the place, and we accepted it. Why? Haney just said it. It was the sexual revolution.
Because that's what we were supposed to subscribe to at that time.
At that time.
And because guess what?
Bill Cosby was a part of it.
And at that time, we're leading towards the feminist explaining to us that there's no difference between a man and a woman. Of course, that's outdated now because the feminists say there's no such thing as a man or a woman.
Right. If you grew up in the 70s where Bill Cosby was king, he was one of the most popular people. Movies, television, comedy albums, cartoons for kids. And you think about places like Studio 54 in mm-hmm. New York, where it was to be seen, and all hell used to break loose there with every celebrity under the sun. L.A. with the Playboy Mansion and all of the free love. And all, that was the time. And
that's what was being pushed at that time.
That was what the cool people were doing. And to go and put today's morals onto what happened in the 80s, the 70s, the 60s. You can't do that. Haney and I, doing this show over the last three decades, mm-hmm. can't do stuff anymore that we did three decades ago. We can't do it.
And the people who seem to be calling the shots right now would be in jail in the Eisenhower administration.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The people pushing all this would not survive a day in Eisenhower's America.
How was all of this stuff, and I'm talking about women and men, was so permissible in the 70s and 80s? Look, I lived through it. I was obviously too young in the 70s, but boy, oh boy, I had the Playboy magazines and would see, boy, I want to be a part of that.
Think about it on a different track. Now, if I say DUI, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody knows the consequences. You go back 50, 60 years, and somebody saying something like, damn, I guess the car drove itself home last night.
Yep. Police officers used to go and let me follow you home.
Yep.
Let's get you home safely. Now, looking at it from today's eyes, that's asinine. That's crazy. You're going to let somebody still drive home? Hey, where do you think the phrase, one more for the road? I can remember parties at my parents' house. Hey, you can't leave without having one more. And nobody thought about it.
Yeah, you drive through liquor stores.
You had drive through liquor stores.
Because it was not illegal to have a drink as you're driving down the road.
Now, 2018, Stan Haney Jr., anybody, you're going to go and do that today? You'd be effing nuts. But it wasn't thought about it that way back then.
It wasn't judged.
It wasn't judged. And the sexual revolution was encouraged. There's the story. And I hope you understand that Haney and I in 2018 understand the way things have changed. And yes, a woman that is brutalized has to report it and has to have a justice done. But in the same token, when you are going and taking something out of generational context, I'd love to take an FGCU student and put them for 10 minutes into the 1970s and let them look around for a minute and then throw them back to 2018 and say, guess what? That's the way it was. And it was encouraged. It was encouraged.
And what we're left with is an 81-year-old man who has done a tremendous amount of good.
Yeah, I got to make one comment.
In jail.
Yeah, they're talking about, if a woman is into it, great, but drugging someone. I will also state in the 1970s, that was also different.
We were just talking about you being drugged.
Yeah. People were being slipped stuff all the time, you know, and they had the roofies and the... It was something... Oh, they must have had... both of them were out doing roofies. The culture. I'm telling you, it's the culture. We know as more responsible that a lot of people's feelings were hurt, whether it was taking this as a general thing, Polish jokes, black jokes. They used to go and talk about a whole nationality of people, Polish people, and go on national television and make jokes about it.
In fairness, they were good jokes.
They were damn funny jokes.
when the Polish people complained, we moved on to blondes and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know, and they're the same jokes. They're still funny.
Sorry, couldn't take your phone calls. I'll tell you this: when we come back, though,
if this whole Cosby charade was conducted by a jury of 81-year-old people, I don't care what sex, by an 81-year-old judge and 81-year-old attorneys. They would all, on the first day, go, what are we doing here?
Yep.
But didn't she get her money?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, she did, but Hannibal Buress said he raped somebody.
Yep.
And here's Janice Dickinson. Oh, God!
Yep. Yep. We'll be back. Mike Tinopoulos is coming up next.
Janice Dickinson, is it alive?
Taking your phone calls for him. He's an attorney.
Is she
he's
smiling or scowling?
Yeah, well,
or?
That's a lot of work.
Ooh.
A lot of work.
Ah.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
What are you listening to? This transistor radio I made myself. Want to listen?
Stan and Haney.
Hey, it's a real radio and it works great. Can I build one too? Sure. All you have to do is put together all the parts that come in the kit. The transistor, the tuner, and a separate loudspeaker for broadcasting. Can you do your own broadcasting, too?
Yeah, sure. I'll do the announcing with this microphone while you work the radio.
This is radio station
96 K-Rock.
The do-it-yourself radio station.
Oh, boy, we're radio engineers.
Fellows, get your
Stan and Haney
radio at your favorite toy store.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, about 20 minutes away from the 4 o'clock safe word. Could get you a thou, but it is Tuesday afternoon, and every Tuesday at this time,
We bring the man himself onto the air, comes into the studio.
Your attorney is here.
Your attorney is here. He's Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law.
The counselor is in.
Yeah, and we were talking about this. Not everybody can have an attorney on retainer.
It would take a few bucks to make you show up for a half hour every week, wouldn't it?
It would.
So we got him on retainer. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we got him on retainer. He's here for you. If you want to talk to Mike and you got something going on, family law, divorce, child support, alimony, visitation of the kids. You know, you get the holidays just around the corner, and the missus who's in another state says, I got the kids this year. Good luck at Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I'm really going to try and rein myself in.
Yes, you got to.
I know it's, you know, a slow news time. I don't have any questions for him about any legal matters that are making the news.
Jeez.
Yeah, nobody taking a plea this week?
DUIs, criminal.
Oh, criminal, DUI, anything. Whatever you got. Family, we do a lot of family.
You just became president. Do you fire Rosenstein or do you let him
get
away with
it? 277-9600 if you want to talk to Mike Chiannopoulos. This is your opportunity. But he can help.
Let me tell you.
How do you prove a negative?
you can't.
So I get a lot of people that call, and I'll often ask when somebody's hiring me, are you a Stan and Haney listener? Because if they say yes, I give them a discount.
Oh, that's nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's some people saying yes just because they think that's the right answer, and they're not really listeners. So here's what I'm going to do. What is my name? What have I told you guys? You should call me Stormy Chiannopoulos.
It's not a good choice.
No.
And so
as your counselor, I must advise you.
That's going to be the question, though. When the Stan and Haney listeners call me, that's how I'm going to know they're really Stan and Haney listeners. I'm going to say, well, what have I always said you should call me? And if they
see, I don't even remember that, Mike.
Oh,
that's not a good one.
Yeah. That's not a good. All right. Well, you're going to have to help me out.
Just have them say ahoy.
Yes.
Ah, there you go.
That's what it is. Ahoy. 277-960. Look at these phones are jammed already.
What goes right before the phone number? Ahoy. There you go. All right. I like that.
You want to sing?
Nah, let's skip it today.
Are you sure?
All right.
Come on.
Only because you've asked me so
popular
sincerely.
Demand?
Yeah.
Well, you did put him on the spot like that. Yep. He doesn't want to come across as a braggart. He knows he can do it. You in voice?
I am tuning up.
Take care of that instrument.
Orally.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
I can help. Problem, don't care what it is.
If you need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help.
Oh, yeah.
I
got two strong
arms. I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help. With anything you got, divorce, family law,
can't believe
DUI, criminal.
81.
Cosby in jail.
81. Here's Tom.
He would never abuse his position. That's an absurd statement.
Ahoy, Tom. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Ahoy, Tom from Delhi, India.
Delhi, India.
Welcome to Absolute Law.
What are you doing in Delhi, India, Tom?
That's one of the places I work in, unfortunately.
All right, I'm going to give you a stick pin.
Hey, what time is it in Delhi, India?
10.5 hours ahead of us. I don't know what the hell that... A half hour, excuse me, there's a half hour thing that
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, and I know that to be true.
Who does that?
I don't know. Delhi, India.
Listen, it's really simple. There are 365 degrees in a circle. If you divide that by 24, that's 15. There are 15 degrees in a time zone.
So hello? What time is it?
Hello? How do you get to the half? The only way you get to the half is by...
That's pretty heavy-duty ciphering. That's why you got to be where you are, Judge.
Thank you.
Because I don't have my abacus with me, for one thing, and I'm glad somebody knows what they're talking about. And now I know the answer.
What do you got for them, Tom?
Okay, here's what I got. Potential DUI situations. I know the answer. I've been listening to you guys forever. Thank you for all your advice and your entertainment. But here's the question. Just say I have an extra cocktail and I'm on the margin. I don't know where I am for sure. Again, the answer is don't drink and drive. But if I get pulled over, what might I do? Is it better to not blow because I'm in a transportation industry that's sensitive to that sort of thing, or call you.
You know, Mike, it doesn't take the .08.
Even if you pass it, they can still arrest you.
Yeah, for impaired.
No doubt.
If you if you get anything above a 000, they can get you for impaired. But here's what I would tell you. In Florida, if you've never refused before, then I would probably do what's called a double refusal, which is refuse both the breathalyzer and a field sobriety test. And so now it becomes your word against the officers, and you got a little bit of a better chance as to whose perspective was right.
And as you pointed out, your license will get suspended.
Yeah, I was going to say, the problem with that is that you automatically lose your license for a year.
For sure.
So,
and I'm willing to do that part, but I don't want to lose my job and livelihood, which would probably happen.
Yeah, because that's not a legal thing. That's a professional
thing.
Right.
Well, the best thing... If charges have not been brought, the best thing to do is go find somebody. If it's here, I'd be glad to help you. If it's someplace else, I'll see if I can find somebody to help you. But you need somebody who's aggressive, who works well with the state's attorney, whoever has jurisdiction over it, and can call and say, listen, here's the deal. This charge is there. They haven't filed it formally yet. I need to get it worked out so this guy can keep his job. What do we got to do? And you can get it done. I'm not saying it stays off the books. I'm just saying it's treated differently, and it might not be a problem with your employer.
But Jesus, man, if you put that much thought into it as it being that much of a hazard, then don't do it at all.
Don't do it at all.
Agreed, Mark.
All right, Tom, have a good
100% more.
We'll talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye. We have a line open if you want to talk to Mike Chiannopoulos, 277-9600.
If you're experiencing that level of hand-wringing, solve the problem yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, because he was saying, if I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have the common sense. Well, don't do it if your job's that important to you.
After my answer, hopefully you won't.
Let's go to Al, who's been sitting there on line two. Al, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike.
Hey, man, how's it going? Just a question. I bought a van off of eBay.
Okay.
The advertisement claimed that it was like new, runs in great condition, selling it cheap because of a divorce. Turns out that I inspect the van, and it obviously looked good, looked great. 15 minutes after I take possession, the rear axle starts to grind.
Ooh.
Long story short, I ended up paying $12,000 more to get it fixed. All sorts of issues came out. I tried to look for this guy's divorce papers.
I was going to say, let me guess, Al, that jerk wasn't even married.
No, he divorced like 5 or 6 years ago. Anyways, it turns out that he has a body shop, and apparently he knew what he was doing, so... It's a typical case of misrepresentation.
Right. It's called fraudulent inducement.
What can I do? What are my options?
Now, I want to say this before we go any further. With eBay, I know they have on there eBay Motors, and they have eBay has all their own fraud stuff that goes on if you're screwed over by somebody that's pulling that off. But eBay, I know for a fact, Mike, has their own car thing on eBay.
Right. Okay. Say that.
Don't cuss.
Bad word.
Sorry about that. I went through the eBay. I did all the claim issues with them, and to no avail at all. I realized that the guy is selling other cars. I asked him, "What are you going to do to stop this guy from hurting other people, from causing damages to other people?" They did nothing.
Let's hear what Mike has to say.
Al, here's what I would tell you. Before we start worrying about what happens to everybody else and all these other people he's harming, let's talk about how to fix your situation. All right?
Sure.
You can sue him directly for the price of the vehicle as well as the 11 or 12 that you put into it afterwards. Under the theory of fraudulent inducement, he didn't communicate to you certain information that he knew was relevant, and that induced you to buy the car. You need to be put back in the same situation that each of you were before the fraud, and that means he has to give you all that money back, and you have to give him the car back. Now, let's be realistic. What if he doesn't have the money? That's where you have to decide, do I even go after this?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm in a bad position because I had to get the car fixed because it was a van that I needed for work.
Right,
and it all started out with It all started out with, hey, it's a $2,000 repair. I sent it to the Nissan dealership, and then it gradually grew from there when they started to realize that the whole thing was just it was just a money pit.
It was a shell. I get it. So listen, why don't you call me at the office, 239 Ask Mike, easy to remember, 275-6453. Okay. Call me there. You make an appointment to come in and see me, and we'll do the math, and we'll see, is this worth going after or isn't it?
Okay.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, what I'd like to do is make sure I understand that I'm on the borderline of not getting any money, but I really want to make sure that nobody else falls in that same pit.
All right. All right.
I want to make sure that his body shop is known for what he's done. So, yeah, I'll give you a call, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Right. All right. Have a great day, Al.
277-9600. Here's Stephen, line 3. Stephen, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hey, Mike, I got a question. If you've got fines or fees, how long do they have to hold on to them if you miss a payment before they send them to collections in the state of Florida?
There is no time. If you miss a payment, they can send you the next day. Well, I mean, maybe they have to give you the grace period of the contract. If you piss anybody off. Your payment's due on the 1st, not late until after the 5th or something. But other than that,
then boom, they can send it right to collections.
Yeah, they usually don't because no government entity is efficient enough to actually make that happen. So it's usually sometime after that.
Okay.
Okay. One quick question. Another question.
Yeah.
If you get pulled over for a failure to yield at a stop sign that's on private property that doesn't have the DOT certification sticker on the back, can law enforcement enforce a stop sign on private property?
They typically do not, and they cite the very reasons that you just did. But if they believe it's an issue of public safety, they do have the authority to enforce it. They can't necessarily say you violated this stop sign. They can say you were driving in an unreasonable manner for the conditions that then existed and give you the same ticket.
All right.
But if they continue to go after the stop sign, can you negate the probable cause for pulling you over?
Maybe. I mean, if they have been out there and you can prove they've been out there and, they knew the stop sign wasn't, a municipally enforceable instrument, maybe. If they pulled you over and then found something in an incidental search, I could see where you might want to make a motion to suppress out of that.
You're right on point.
All right. Thank you, counselor.
All right.
277-9600. Have a line open if you want to talk to Mike. We got a couple of minutes left.
Look at Haney looking at me. You think I've heard this story a time or two? You think I've heard those facts a time or two?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Here's Dave on line 1. Dave, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hey there. How you doing?
Hey, Dave, what do you got for us today?
Well, I got in a little fender bender the other day, I guess you'd say. I had no apparent damage to me or the trailer I was pulling. But I got told that, and it's weird, because the woman hit the rear end of my trailer, and somehow I'm thinking in the state of Florida, when you hit the back end of something, and, if you're supposed to be in, maintenance of your, maintaining your vehicle at all times, but apparently... I got told that I was going to be found at fault for the accident, and I ended up getting a ticket, or a citation, as they call it, for crash-related, failed to use due care.
What, and you were now, hit from behind?
Yeah.
I was hit while I was making a turn. I made a turn, and I was 98% through the turn, and the lady come along, and she hit the right rear corner of the trailer. And it just tore the whole front end of the freaking car up. So,
here's the thing. Yeah, generally speaking, in the state of Florida, when there's a rear-end collision, it's the car that got hit is not going to be accountable. The car that did the hitting is going to be almost automatically at fault. One exception to that, though, is trailer accidents. Why? Because there are specific regulations about the lighting and markings that a trailer must have. If your trailer was in compliance with those things, then yes, it's still going to be considered her fault. I mean, almost automatically. In my opinion, a rear-end collision can't be the first driver's fault. It's impossible.
Yeah. Mm. I mean,
what if they slam on the brakes out of nowhere?
Yeah, what if they slam on the brakes out of nowhere?
And you're supposed to be traveling in an assured, clear distance ahead.
Oh, you remember Driver Zed? Give yourself that buffer.
Mm-hmm.
What well, one car length for every 10 miles
like
an
that.
Hour?
Yeah, something yeah. like that.
See, I was the nerd that remembered that, Stan.
Maybe that's why you're smart.
This is really the setup for the question is what I'm trying to get at, though. So I've got this citation for this, like I said, this fail to use due care.
All right.
And I'm going to go to court and I'm going to fight this. Now, the officer even told me off the side, he said, you know, not for not, he says, you got a real good chance of beating this. He says, if I were you, I probably would take this to court.
Well, then why'd you write you a ticket?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I'd say, okay, so I'm going to go to court and I'm going to do this. But I'm obviously at fault for this accident. If I clear this citation, if this thing gets thrown out, I get, you know, not guilty of this thing, will that take the fault of the accident off of me?
Yes.
Just wondering about.
Yes.
But will?
Yeah, well, you take a copy of the judgment and send it to your insurance carrier and say, you've got me with an at-fault accident, and here's the proof that it wasn't. Take that off my insurance record, and they take it off.
Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what I was getting at, because when, all said and done, you know, I'm like every other, minded person. I want to watch my budget. I want to pay the lowest rates. I want to do this and whatnot.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm going to fight the thing. Obviously, I don't feel that I'm at fault, but I don't want to get stuck with crappy driving record when it's all over with.
You need to call me off the air because we're going to try to get to a couple more callers. 239-ASK-MIKE. But listen, I got a couple of things to tell you about that and why you should probably take a lawyer with you. But we'll talk off the air. 239-ASK-MIKE. Thanks for your call.
There you go.
All right.
Let me see if I can squeeze this. We got 1 minute. Tanya, you got 1 minute. You're with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hi, I want to find out about a expungement for out of state.
The state of Florida cannot expunge another state's records. Only that state can, just like nobody else can expunge records in the state of Florida, but the state of Florida.
Right. Is there an easy way to do it? Like, mine was from the state of Connecticut, and it was from, 1996.
Hmm. Well, I don't practice law in any of the commonwealths. I'm proud to say. What I can tell you is, though, you do need to call somebody up there who can give you some good advice.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Right.
Wish I could do more for you.
You
Tanya.
Are...
Just generally.
Tanya sounds nice.
And I know we're out of time, but when you say, I don't practice law in Connecticut, I'm sure a lot of people think, how different... could it be? Are there really vast differences between the states?
Yeah, I came from Oklahoma, and Florida law is completely different on so many issues.
Wow.
Even
you
procedural.
You wouldn't think that.
The procedural aspects of how you do what.
Because you don't give a thought
very
to
different.
Crossing a state border, but
nope.
You're in...
different territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
In
and
a
Louisiana,
land.
Louisiana still has, the code. So of their evidence code, they still have the French... version of that, and it's in French in Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's codified as such.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's every state's different. Yeah.
Easy to get a hold of.
239 Ask Mike. 239-275-6453.
24/7.
Press 6, and when you hear the office greeting, anytime you want to talk to me 24/7, just press 6 at the greeting, and it'll come right to me, and I actually answer it.
He's Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law every Tuesday here on the Stan and Haney Show. Mike, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And hold tight, because Safe Word coming up in seconds. We're Stan and Haney.
I'm one of the most recognizable voices in the world today. Network television, Major League Baseball, and countless documentaries. Yet, because I worked with these guys in the early 90s, I'm obligated to say, you're listening to my friends, Stan and Haney. This is beneath me. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Still got time to get that safe word in. It's September. You got a few more minutes to do it. Put the word on the new K-Rock app or at 96krock.com. Hopefully somebody will call you back and you'll be our next multi-market winner of $1,000.
That really would be ideal.
Yep, September. 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes away from Stan's Name That Movie.
Why are you shouting the month out?
That's the safe word.
What?
September.
By the way, for name that movie up for grabs today, we've got Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. We've got Millennial Brewing Oktoberfest tickets. We also have $50 to the brand new pewter mug. And a few other things as well.
You know, September has been just a historically bad month.
Yes, it has.
Wake me up when September ends. Mm-hmm.
If we make it through September.
Yeah, you'd be in a better town come Rocktober.
K-Rock traffic.
All right.
That's probably why we celebrate Rocktober.
Yep. All these are Fort Myers. Got a crash. Iris Road and Sanibel Boulevard. Then we have another crash, Fort Myers. Cypress Lake Drive and Summerlin Road. And one more for you. Fort Myers crash. Daniels Parkway at TIAA Bank. What is that? What is TIAA Bank?
I think it's a mini stroke.
Okay. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He's got the headlines for you right now. He's going to tell you what's coming up. What can you expect?
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right.
What the hell is it with this therapy?
Therapy?
Yeah.
Both of us are in need of some therapy.
You know, there was no such thing.
Well, there was such a thing, but...
It was for hypochondriacs.
It was, you don't discuss
it. Wasn't it? It was for hypochondriacs.
They're a loon. He says he's getting therapy.
You know why? Because people don't go to effing church anymore.
Right, where the reverend used
would
to...
take care of you.
Take care of you.
He'd tell you, look, you got rocks in your head, read your Bible, act right, and you'll be fine.
Or the priest.
Yep. Not being of that persuasion, I can't speak to that, Stan.
Yeah. Boy, I consider myself so lucky that, because, you know, my family, the bishop was very tight with the family, and he always used to ask me, because he didn't oversee the
but
parish
he was a tough guy,
yeah,
bishop.
Yeah, he is.
It's different when you know the bishop can kick your ass.
But he always used to ask me as a little boy, when are you going to be an altar boy in your church? And I didn't want to. I didn't want to be an altar boy.
I was an acolyte.
And I went to one day of Catholic school, and I asked my parents to take me out of it. I had the feeling. Something ain't right.
I guess that would be the equivalent of altar boy. I lit the candles, wore a robe, walked down the aisle.
And that's it.
It was like the escort for the pastor.
Yep.
Ah, thank God I went to a good church.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Thank God you went to a good church. I think I went to a good church. I wasn't an altar boy, so I don't know.
You know anybody that was?
Yeah.
They okay?
They disappeared. Won't be hearing from Timmy anymore.
Well, I guess given the turn this conversation's taken, we'll make this the next headline. Again, if you go to church, it'll help you with a lot of your problems. Like this lady, she had the right idea, but the wrong execution. She went and shoplifted herself a Bible because she needed to be more Christian. I think she had a good thought.
Here's something that I want to pose to you, and I've had this dilemma. I've had a Bible in my house, and it's the Bible I don't read.
Bad translation?
Bad translation. Never enjoyed that particular Bible because, well, yes, it was a poor translation. What do you do with that Bible? Because you can't just... Throw it out.
Decorative purposes.
You got to keep it decorative.
Yeah.
Either I was told
always
maybe,
looks good on
maybe,
a bookshelf.
Because you know what? There have been times where I've just cleaned out the house. Everything goes down the garbage chute. You can't do that even with a Bible you don't read. What do you do with it? Donate it?
No. Bookshelf. It always looks good on a bookshelf.
All right.
Never a bad thing for somebody to see a Bible in your home.
I got more than one.
But what I'm saying, the more the merrier.
Okay.
The better off you are.
Give it to somebody.
You would not, well, you would, but some people might not believe some of the major translations out there. If you really look into this stuff.
Are twisted up. They're not what it's supposed to be.
I mean, you go all the way back to the Septuagint. But I digress.
Do you have any more headlines?
There was something about therapy, but we're past that now. Congress really needs a shot in the arm right now.
They sure do.
Some good publicity. So in the midst of everything else that's going on, Congress has announced they may require airlines to give you more leg room.
All right.
Which, in turn, will probably
shut
a lot of them down.
Yeah, and shut down higher payments.
Mm-hmm. Six Flags is holding a contest where people spend 30 hours in a coffin in exchange for mediocre prizes. And finally, a 71-year-old man viciously pistol-whips his friend of 50 years during an argument over a Bruno Mars song. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Can we please have some laughter today? That's too evil. 4 o'clock, 12
Don't
for
bring
10.
The hut into this.
that was Jabba right there, wasn't it?
Yep.
I've just about had enough of you.
Get lost.
What's 3PO doing
here? I don't know.
The whole thing makes no sense.
Yeah, Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
There, that's more like it.
Well, the fall TV season is upon us. And,
it is.
Whoop-dee-doo. From what I understand, it's the Big Bang Theory, followed by Young Sheldon.
Yeah, must see Thursday.
That'll bring up 3rd and 15.
This year, like last year, the best is right here on ABC.
Must-see TV.
Yeah.
Following Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
That's really the only network TV I see anymore is promos during the game.
Yeah.
You go, boy, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah. You throw on Red Zone, that all goes away, too.
That jerk.
Yeah, I know you don't like him.
Nope. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
fall TV shows targeting millennials.
Top TV shows targeting millennials. This ought to be just wonderful.
American Horror Story. Adulting. Better Call Saul on your new iPhone XS,
yeah!
Whatever that is. Buffy the Attention Span Slayer.
Come on.
Bob's Veggie Burgers. Six Feet Under, Student Debt. Kevin Can Wait to Finish Getting His College Degree. Two and a Half Mansplainers.
That's my new favorite one.
That's hope right there, friend. There may be help on the way.
Yeah.
Two Woke Girls.
Love it.
You don't know.
Murder, She Snapchatted.
Yes!
And finally, the very top fall TV show targeting millennials.
Yes.
curb your white privilege. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Right, that's it, baby.
Email. I'll try to get a couple of these. Well, I got a couple of emails here. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. This is from Shark Girl.
Oh, how's she doing?
Well, let's hear. Ahoy, my dearest gentlemen. I hope you both had a lovely vacation doing whatever it is that you do. Hopefully, crack and devil's threesomes did not make it into the equation. It didn't. While you were gone, I convinced HW. HW was our former intern. I convinced HW to go camping.
That was probably good for him.
His girlfriend loved it. He did not. Although he did find about 3 scorpions and a cane toad the size of my fist. God forbid he go for 2 days without the fine furs and silk linens he's used to. Anyhow, I have written an article which I would like the both of you to read if you have time in order to educate yourselves on, well, what else? Sharks. And she sent the link to it.
But she really wrote it herself?
Yeah. Oh, she's smart like that.
Yeah, I mean, if she wrote it, I'll read it. I'm not going to have her just send propaganda at me.
Love Shark Girl.
I will say that if she hadn't written it, I would decline.
Me too. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Yeah.
God, the world needs The Guardian right now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But the rest of the world is saying to him, we don't need you.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, did you see the interview with Kavanaugh and his wife last night? Oh, yeah. He's a virgin.
That was for him to have to do that. I know. Just incredible.
Beneath him. One thing I got out of it is he's not going to go without a fight. It also strengthens my belief that he's good for the country. Can you imagine trying to explain to your 2 daughters what's going on? In my opinion, the left has hit a new low. For people like Schumer, Harris, Schiff, and others to come out and say, I believe her, without one piece of evidence, speaks volumes about their goal. Based on what I saw and heard, I believe the left has met their match. Now, here's my take on Rosenstein. Yeah, let's go with Rosenstein instead of Rosenstein, because that's not the way the media says it. I don't think Trump will fire him right now, but he will step away from the witch hunt, and then after the midterms, he will be fired or he will resign, followed quickly by Mr. Invisible Jeff Sessions. I don't think in all my years I have seen politics stoop to this low. It's disgusting. Of course, that's just my opinion. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
From everything that I've read, it really sounds like, what are we calling him? Rosenstein?
Rosenstein.
It sounds like when Trump finally had enough and fired Comey, Rosenstein panicked.
Yeah. And then wanted to go and bug him in 25th Amendment and all this stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
I think he panicked.
And they don't even talk about the fact that, I don't know if it was another one of these anonymous sources, but it was in one of the articles I read, that supposedly Rosenstein was who can I appoint as an independent counsel? Well, let me call Sid Blumenthal's lawyer. He'll do. I guess I can't do that. Yeah, boy, hilarious. I wish Jim Comey was here. He'd know what to do. Can I call him? Well, that would be frowned upon, Rod. He's not in the government anymore. It sounds like he lost his mind.
Yep. Name that movie. Movie Tough Guys. The way movies should be when we come back.
You mean inappropriate.
Yeah. By today's standards.
We have to put out a disclaimer that it's inappropriate triggering.
Yeah, because it's about movie Tough Guys.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
We'll be back.
96 K. Breaker 19, Breaker 19. Anybody know where I can get a good chicken dinner? Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. About 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We're going to play Stan's Name That Movie here in just a second. We'll go over the prizes you can win. Got traffic coming up. You know, this is how this company has changed. They used to have it in the computer where they would tell you. Before, they used to acknowledge it. Then they didn't acknowledge it, and it was just in a computer. Now that's not even in the computer. This month, it was last week while we were on vacation, I hit 27 years working for Beasley Broadcasting, and not one acknowledgement. Not one. 27 years. Not one acknowledgement. I'm now into my 28th year.
What should be said?
They used to go and have that computer generated. Congratulations, Stan, you're in your...
Your employment is important to us.
Nothing.
For positive feedback, press 1.
That's what it is. And they want to talk about the state. How about just overall morale? Let's get you updated.
I got no problem with that. Yeah. As long as good things are not said...
Yeah.
If bad things are also not said,
yeah.
I'm fine
with it.
What
about a lot of bad things being said?
You keep that from me.
I try!
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Couple of things on the board. Crash, right lane.
Don't think for a minute I'm not appreciative.
I understand that. It's in the right lane. Dantley Drive and Metro Parkway. One more I'll throw out there. These should be in the clearing stages. Hit and run. Fort Myers on Riva del Lago Drive, the 14,000 block. And you are up to date. Stan's Name That Movie. Oh, we got some good ones. It's Movie Tough Guys today. Movie Tough Guys.
That is a great category.
Yeah, and I got some great scenes for you. Great prizes. Phones on lockdown until the first clip is played. Let's take a look at
if only Haney would have the theme music ready. Everything would have been perfect.
Much better. Yeah, it would have been smooth.
Would have just like butter.
Here's if you are the first person to correctly identify the film. You have your choice of the following prizes. A bottle of Stan and Haney Baba Koo Saw. We have a pair of tickets to Millennial Brewing's Oktoberfest. That's in downtown Fort Myers happening. I got the dates here. I think it's the 28th through the 30th. We can give you a pair of tickets to that. Universal's Halloween Horror Nights. Yes, sir. $50 to the brand new pewter mug located US 41 in Naples, right next to the brand new Mercedes dealership. We also have, right two doors down, $20 to Bernie's City Diner. We also have a complimentary auto health checkup from Naples Nissan.
So happy for him.
Oh, absolutely, with the pewter mug. Movie Tough Guys, your job is to name the film. All these movies are iconic. It shouldn't be hard for you to name the film. And they all feature a movie tough guy. Name this movie.
You laughing at me, dick brain?
No, sir!
You better stop eyeballing me, boy. I'll rip your eyeballs out the sockets and skull you to death.
Yes, sir!
What's your name, boy?
Mayo. Zach Mayo, sir.
How did you slip into this program? I didn't know the Navy was so hard up.
You got an injury there, Mayo? Not exactly, sir.
Hey, this is really wonderful work. Where'd you get this, Mayo?
Subic Base, Philippines, sir.
Ah, sort of recognize the work. Be proud of them wings. They're the only ones you're going to leave here with. Mayonnaise. What's your name, boy?
Emiliano Santos de la Cera, sir.
Don't say. You college boy de la Cera?
Yes, sir. Math major, sir. Graduate from Texas Tech with honor, sir.
Let's see. You see this cane here, de la Cera? See the notches near the handle? There's a notch for every college puke like you. So I got the DOR. That's dropped on request from this program. And the first one I'm going to call out of this class is you.
277-9600-MOVIE. Tough guys. Phone lines have just been released. Your job is to identify the movie. First person to do it. And you haven't won anything in the last 30 days. We have ways of finding that out, too. We'll win. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Patty Pillow.
Who? Patty?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Have you won anything from us in the last 30 days?
No, I have not.
Name the movie.
Officer and a Gentleman.
Yup. Lou Gossett Jr. Won the Academy Award for that movie, Officer
would
and
you,
Gentleman.
Would you say that was a career-defining role?
Absolutely.
I always thought his
same
best...
Same with Richard Gere.
His best work was as Chappie in Iron Eagle.
Yeah, well, that was good, too. And, of course, he was great as Fiddler in Roots. What would you like?
I totally missed your prize list, so I don't want to hold you up.
Do you want something to do? Do you want something to eat? What do you want?
All right, what do you have to do?
Let's see. I've got the Millennial Brewing Oktoberfest coming the week of the 28th, 29th, and 30th. You want that?
The one on the Cape?
No, I think this is downtown.
Oh, okay. That'd be perfect.
All right. Hold on.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hold on.
You really are. You're number one when it comes to customer service.
Yeah, I try to be. Movie tough guys. You want a close shave? Well, this guy didn't.
I'm sorry. I haven't done this for a long time. Did you make a speech the night that you beat up your wife, Clinton? Huh? Did you? Did you strike a blow for the white man that night? Huh? Get out of here. You got a stupid smile, you know that, pal? Can you see it? Huh? Come on! You smile when the bulldozer ran over the black kid's body? Get here! Get here! Did you smile when the bodies were covered over? Did you? Come on. Get it. Did you smile that same stupid smile? Huh? Did you? You. Did you smile, pal? Did you smile? Huh? Did you?
277-9600. Movie tough guy. Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Chris.
Chris, can you name the movie?
Oh, boy. It's a tough one.
Yes, it is.
Take a shot.
Take a shot at it, or I got to move on.
I'm going to say In the Heat of the Night.
No. Good guess, but no. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Oh, sorry. Ahoy, who's this?
This is John.
John, can you name the movie?
Mississippi Burning.
It is Mississippi Burning. Gene Hackman, you are absolutely correct. What would you like, buddy?
You got a Halloween Horror Nights?
I do. Hold on. Just like that.
A lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep. Yeah.
Not just good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent. Movie tough guys, great scene, easy movie, should be a no-brainer. Name the movie where we got a movie tough guy.
Please, Tony. Elvira. Elvira, you want Elvira. You're going to have her. I go away, I'm going to disappear, Tony. You'll never see me again, Tony. Please, I don't want to die. I never did nothing to nobody. No.
You never did nothing to nobody.
That's right.
You had somebody else do it for you.
Oh, Tony, come on. I'm begging you.
Get him! Jesus! Get him! No! Oh, God!
Get
Thank you. Manolo, shoot that piece of
No, 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 no! Every dog has his day. Amar.
Name the movie, win a prize. 2779600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Matt.
Matt, can you name the movie?
Yes, sir. That's Scarface.
Yeah, Al Pacino. And you know who played the... Robert Loggia.
The great.
The great Robert Loggia. What would you like?
Let's do Pewter Mug.
You got it, baby. $50.
You got it.
Brand spanking new place. You're going to love it. Hold on.
Awesome.
There we go. Yeah, Scarface. Robert Loggia.
Damn womb is so polluted.
You know, you want to do yourself a favor. See if it's got on DVD when he had his TV series, Mancuso FBI.
The great Robert Loggia.
All right. Movie clip number four. It's movie Tough Guys. We have Babacusaw. We have Millennial Brewing Oktoberfest. We have Pewter Mug, Bernie's City Diner. Complimentary auto health checkup from Naples Nissan. Name this movie.
Yes, help you?
You tell me where I can find Officer Joe Charles.
What's your business?
Well, my name is Paul Kersey. A couple days ago, my wife and daughter were attacked, and he was one of the policemen on his scene. I want to talk to him.
Yeah, well, okay, Joe. I think they're...
Addie, is Joe Charles still back there, or is he gone on duty yet?
Yeah, there's someone out here who wants to talk to you.
Have a seat with me right now. That mother, the man who came up from behind me.
You didn't see who it was?
No, I didn't see nothing.
How much excuse him?
Officer Charles, dropped by, see if you had any information on the people who attacked my family.
I'll take you to the detective in charge of the case.
Lieutenant, this is Mr. Paul Kersey, case number 884. His wife and daughter were assaulted.
Yeah, I'd know you, Mr. Kersey.
Yeah, I'm going on duty now, Mr. Kersey, so I'll leave you.
Thanks, officer.
Right this way, Mr. Kersey. You have a seat, Mr. Kersey?
Have you found out anything yet?
Well, the supermarket security officer and one of the checkers remembers these three characters leaving right after Mrs. Kersey and your daughter. I think they could have gotten the apartment number off the address on the grocery bags, but they haven't been able to pick the faces out of the mugbook.
Any chance of catching these men?
There's a chance, sure.
Just a chance?
I'd be less than honest if I gave you more hope, Mr. Kersey. In the city, that's the way it is.
Unless somebody else takes care of it.
But what can I do? I'm an architect.
2779600. Name the movie.
Paul Kersey's here.
Yeah.
The architect?
Yeah, what is he doing here?
Checking on people who assaulted my family. Thank you, Ovid.
Ahoy,
I'm
who's
an
this?
Architect, yeah. By the way.
Who's this? Ahoy.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Idiot. What, you know, what the hell do you call for? Sorry.
To get a rise out of you?
That's why.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Glenn.
All right, will you do me a favor, Glenn, and turn your radio down? Yeah, thank you, brother. Can you name the movie?
Death Wish.
It is Death Wish. Charles Bronson.
He plays Paul Kersey. What is Paul Kersey's occupation?
Paul Kersey.
What are you getting words from somebody? What do you want?
I'll take the Oktoberfest.
Done. Hold on. Jeez.
Didn't mean to tax him.
Yeah, yeah. I think in the new Death Wish, though, Bruce Willis has another job. He's not an architect.
Haven't seen it.
No, and won't. And won't.
And there's not really a desire there.
Do you know that Bronson went all the way, I think, up to Death Wish 5?
Is that the one that starred Jimmy Page?
Here's the thing. No, that was Death Wish 2. He did Death Wish, which was what we just played there. And it was 10 years went by before they decided, you know what, that was a pretty good film. He's a big star. Let's do Death Wish 2. And so they did Death Wish 2, which was also a very good movie.
What year did Death Wish come out?
1974. And in 1984.
Wasn't that Bernie Goetz time?
In 84?
Yeah.
Might have been. But then, like every other year, they would put out a Death Wish movie. Until he couldn't do it anymore.
I don't know if anybody remembers Bernie Goetz anymore.
Subway Vigilante.
Yep.
All right, we got...
And I think that's why they put Death Wish 2 out.
Maybe. That was a hot topic then. We have one more tough guy film. Now, you probably know this scene very well. And it is one of the best tough guy scenes in movie history. But I want...
I think anything's a bonus. You got Death Wish in there. Yeah. Paul Kersey's
but
an architect.
I want the full title of the movie. I don't want the person's name, the character's name. I want the full title of the movie in order to win. This is an awesome scene. Tough guys. Last one. Name the movie.
You're wanted.
I reckon I'm right popular. You a bounty hunter?
Man, he's got to do something for a living these days.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy. You know, this isn't necessary. You can just ride on.
Seven 7 9 6 0 0. I don't want his name, the character's name. I want the full name of the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rick.
Rick, name the movie.
The Outlaw Josie Wales?
You are absolutely correct. It's Josie Wales. What would you like?
Wait a second. You mean the Outlaw?
Yeah, Josie Wales. What would you like?
I was hoping you had some gun show tickets.
No gun show tickets. I wish. You have no idea.
We would gladly give them to you if they existed.
I've got Pewter Mug. I've got Millennial Brewing Oktoberfest. I've got Stan and Haney Barbecue Saw. I've got Bernie's City Diner. I've got Naples Nissan Auto Health Checkup.
Go ahead and give me Bernie's City Diner.
You're going to love it. Hold the line, buddy. Just like that. Haney, will you give me a proper outro?
Yeah, got me thinking about Paul Kersey.
He's an architect.
You know that poor man?
Yeah.
Not with us anymore.
Charles Bronson? No, he's not.
No, Paul Kersey, he's not with
Paul
us
Paul Kersey is an architect, and no, he's not with us either.
And do you know that nearly every female who interacted at all with Paul Kersey is either sexually assaulted or killed?
Yep. Yes.
There's no way to live.
Well. Get out of town, Kersey.
See, those are the guys we want to get, not Bill Cosby.
Yep.
And if you lose the difference, you've lost a lot.
Yep.
Nobody knows who the bad guys are anymore. No. And that concludes Stan's tribute to Hollywood Tough Guys. Tune in next week for Stan's tribute to the new Hollywood, the all-new left-wing, new male, soy boy Hollywood.
My dead body.
From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
Oftentimes, complete strangers are convinced that we are somehow related. Sadly, we are not. But to these people, we offer you an Irish blessing. May the road brrrr. I'm sorry. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Tuesday. Quitting time for a lot of you. Finished your day of work. Mark Haney in the news. Coming up here in just a second. We're going to update you once again with traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Hold on. Why is that there? Why is that? Hold on. Just bear with me.
That's fine.
Hold on.
You're among friends.
Yeah, I am. Hold on.
You got a miscue in there or something?
Yeah, I put something in at the wrong spot.
Well, it happens. It happens.
Start thinking about other things like, you know, I don't know, basic stuff. What's for dinner?
Yeah, that's important. You going to have a vegetable?
Yeah, maybe a string bean or a beet.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How do you eat those things?
I can't eat. I can eat a string bean. I can't eat a beet.
No, there's nothing wrong with string beans, but a beet?
Yeah. That ain't meant for human consumption. That or a turnip.
I'd rather have a turnip than a beet.
I think they're in the same family.
But I would take a turnip over a beet.
They're both a root.
I guess. I don't like roots.
Well, that's a turnip.
Well, I'd rather have a turnip green than turnip.
Okay, I understand. I understand that.
Vinegar and bacon green.
Yep, sure. Well, that's what adds to it. If you just had to eat the leaf, it would be horrible.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's see. Crash. Cleveland Avenue and College Parkway. We also have another crash, Fort Myers Plantation Road and Daniels Parkway. Oh, look at this one here. North Fort Myers, crash Pondella Road and North Cleveland Avenue. That is in the North Key Drive sector. And one more, it's Lehigh Acres. Got a crash, Lee Boulevard, right at Deb's Seafood.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, Deb. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. It starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Dan Rather in Washington, Nelson Benton in Washington, Don Webster south of Quang Tri, South Vietnam, Bill Curtis near Indianapolis, and John Cheyenne in Wesseling, West Germany, with a special report on the environment. Can the world be saved?
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, September 25th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for some things you did not know. Got a good one for you today.
All right.
Right off the top of your head, you're going to say, well, Hillary didn't make it. How far back do we have to go? When was the last time a former Secretary of State was elected president?
I don't know. Think about it. You got your Al Haigs, your Condoleezza Rices.
Now, Al Haig was in charge
here
for 10 minutes until somebody told him he wasn't.
Schultz, your Kerry. A lot of them ran for president. I would say there has never been a Secretary of State who was president of the United States.
Well, that's not true, but you do have to go back to 1856. James Buchanan.
You know what they said about him?
Well, what did they say about him, Stan?
Well, he never married.
Choosy man.
Confirmed bachelor.
Remember that term?
What?
Confirmed bachelor.
Yeah, confirmed bachelor. A lot of people said...
I never knew what that was.
Well, there were... You could say, oh, gay. But then there were the... Back in the 60s, they called them, back in the Cosby era, they called them playboys,
where they would like to play the field. They had their bachelor pad.
So the drastically different people, but they would both be referred to as confirmed bachelors.
Right.
Hmm.
Like what they said about Paul Lynde, a confirmed bachelor.
I thought he was a family man. We all know Duke University.
Yeah.
Because of basketball, mainly.
Yeah, yes.
Very prestigious university. What is Duke University named after?
Well, aren't they the Blue Devils?
No, what is the university named after? Why is it called Duke?
Somebody named Duke founded the university.
There you go.
You know, Dr. Duke.
I'll predict this. Within 10 years, they're going to change the name. Duke University is named after James Buchanan Duke.
Ah. Was he a statesman?
He is the man responsible for inventing the modern cigarette.
Do you remember the author that we had on the show? It had to be about 15 years ago.
Back when we could have an author on.
It was a phenomenal. I don't remember him being very good, because most authors do not speak well. They write really well. But his book was fascinating. Cigarettes. Oh, that filthy habit of cigarettes. Was so frowned upon in the early days of tobacco use, because what people used to do, well, initially it was with a pipe. You know, your Sir Walter Raleigh coming back after the Indians told him he smoked it in a pipe. And then some people discovered you could chew it, and chewing tobacco, probably around the turn of the 19th century, was the tobacco use of choice.
Mm-hmm. You do that, ingest some cocaine, some laudanum, and your nerves were good.
And every bar and every saloon and restaurant at homes had spittoons. And then they realized, well, you can make a cigar out of tobacco as well, and smoke that. You didn't need a pipe. You didn't need a spittoon. You could
very portable.
Yep. And what would happen was when the people would go and put their cigars out on the ground and step on them and walk away, the poor folk who couldn't afford tobacco or buy cigars or chew tobacco used to go on the ground and take all the little stepped on tobacco leftovers, roll them in some of the rice paper, and they'd have a cigarette. And then pretty soon they found out, you know what, these poor people have realized something very portable. A cigarette, you could put them in a pack or carry multiples around with you, and that's how smoking came to be.
And the spittoon industry is like, hey, we're in trouble. And they're like, don't worry, just make ashtrays.
I think it was somebody like Oscar Wilde who came over from Europe to visit America and thought this was going to be, you know, the streets paved in gold and all the stuff he could write about. And he saw so many people, and this was in that book, spitting into spittoons and on the street and tobacco wads everywhere. He was completely disgusted by it.
Mm-hmm.
Said, this is what they do in America. They chew tobacco and spit.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Where will it end?
Yeah. And thus, the cigarette was born. Very portable. And it was used with just like the leftovers that they could just roll up in a little piece of paper.
A lot of things happen by accident.
That's true. So I don't know where this Duke guy...
He
took credit for it.
Made a lot of money off it.
I probably did.
Enough money to throw around to say, hey, you call the school Duke University.
Yeah.
And you'll like it.
Where are we? We're in tobacco country.
And if it wasn't for tobacco, we wouldn't be here.
That's true. Look it up.
Stan, you are a pretty good judge of honesty.
Always have been. I can spot a fake.
if somebody comes to you and says, Stan,
yeah,
I got a big problem.
What is it?
I got crabs, but I swear I didn't do anything sexual to get them. Uh-huh. I don't know how I got them.
Oh, really?
But I got crabs, and I swear I haven't had sex with anybody. What do you say?
I believe them.
Why?
Because it's just like bed bugs. It's just like a lice. It's just like anything. If you are like you sit in somebody's sofa, you go to a public place that has nice big plush chairs, and you got somebody that's got the crabs, got lice, been sleeping in a bed with bed bugs, you can get them. You can get them. They jump.
They always said you can't get stuff that way.
Oh, yes, you can.
You do not have to have sex to get crabs.
Nope.
You just have to be in close contact with someone who has them.
Yep.
Meaning what Stan just said is true.
They're jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
They jump. A bed bug.
God, that's disgusting.
Here's, and I'm going to tell you this right now. You'll see in the newspaper a story of blankety blank hotel in Orlando or Tampa or Miami infested with bed bugs. And you're like, oh my God, if you stayed there, they will jump into your luggage. They will jump onto your shirts. And then guess what happens? You come back to your nice clean home and suddenly you got the bugs.
How you like them apples? You know, we talked about it during the headlines. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but it seems like during our lifetime, a lot of people stopped going to church and started going to therapists.
Yeah, therapy.
Like, psychology is now overtaking the role that traditionally religion has played.
Even back in the day, they say, well, go to see a therapist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, your clergy. It used to be included in the options that you would have. And somebody that was a churchgoer, that would be the first person you'd go to is your reverend, your pastor.
Mm-hmm. More and more, that is not the case. We live in a world where whatever may be going on in your life, well, you just need to get the help you need.
Right.
Which, what does that mean? It means go to a therapist.
Yeah.
That's the help you need.
Yeah. Sometimes they help. Sometimes they don't. It all depends on who's doing it. Now, some of your greatest therapists and psychologists probably should have gone into the priesthood, become a reverend or something, because they're very good at it. It's all about communicating.
Others should have been in jail.
Yeah. Yes. Hard time. Ball and chain.
Apparently, we are past the point of therapy as an individual or to save a marriage. We're moving on into other aspects now. Apparently, more and more couples who don't have any problems themselves or with each other are going to therapy on a regular basis. Why?
Why?
They can't figure out how to deal with their in-laws.
Oh, stop it! Please.
I've never had that problem.
Never have. You know, they knew where you were coming from, and you knew where they were coming from.
It was actually solved with a phrase that is near and dear to your heart. Get out now.
Yep. You believe it's amazing how that works.
It worked.
Yep.
Peter Pearson is a relationship coach.
Jeez.
In Menlo Park, California.
Yeah.
And he says about one out of five couples who see him are there for help with in-law issues and nothing else. He says there are two main problems. Someone's jealous of how much time their partner spends with their family, or someone doesn't get along with the partner's family.
Yeah. Just remember, kids out there, when you marry the woman you love, you're also marrying that family. And a lot of times it's hell.
You probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's the truth.
You know, marriage isn't enough trouble.
Yeah.
Pearson says, as a general rule, in his professional opinion,
yes,
it's best to get your in-law problems worked out before the tension grows too much and causes big problems.
Don't I know it.
For instance, maybe before the marriage is consummated.
Yep, that would be a help.
Because in his professional opinion, a lot of education has gone into this, so pay close attention. This is a professional. Most of the time, it does not get better on its own.
You don't say, hey, millennials, you know what would make it better? When you have a problem with the in-laws and it's causing strife in the marriage? Ladies, you know about this. Have a baby. It makes everything better.
Yeah, it really calms everything right down. Yeah. It sure does.
You see things crumbling around you? Oh, I'll tell you how to get everybody back together. Have a baby.
Well known. It solves every problem. And you'll finally have something that loves you. It'll only care about you.
Oh, God.
Because that's your baby. Unless, you know, it needs to be taken care of, and then you need help. In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Finally, something that will love me.
Yep. And it'll do everything I say.
Yeah.
It's going to be perfect.
It's going to be perfect. It's going to be a perfect family.
Bet that'll stop the drinking.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks. That whoring around will come to a stop once I start showing. The approval rating for Congress right now is hovering perilously at about 19%.
Yeah.
And that's generous.
Yeah.
Now, the speculation is the rating is low because they never seem to actually accomplish anything. But somebody up there in Congress is thinking, we need a shot of some good PR.
Yeah.
Apparently, there is a bill floating around Congress right now that would force the airlines to give you more legroom.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Huh?
Congress would establish a minimum amount of legroom on airplanes.
It's about time.
And depending on your age, it's not your imagination. The average amount used to be about 35 inches. Now it is less than 30 inches on many flights.
Yep.
The airlines can jam more and more rows in and make more and more money. Without a set minimum, industry experts estimate it will fall to less than 27 inches of legroom in the near future.
Oh, yeah, they're making smaller seats.
As people get bigger.
Yep.
So this bill would prevent that and possibly even add legroom. The current bill would also block airlines from bumping overbooked passengers from flights they've already boarded, expand the availability of pre-check security boarding, and require large airports to have private nursing rooms for new mothers, because having a child solves all their problems.
Yep, somebody that really loves me.
Some of you will not like this, though. Because if you like bringing your fake emotional support animal with you when you fly, the bill would also require the FAA to establish, quote, reasonable standards to make sure people can't pretend their pet is a service animal.
Yeah. I'm all in favor of it.
If they're going to do it, they got to do it now. Congress has a deadline of this Sunday or probably nothing will happen.
And if it does pass, we were talking earlier about it, they're going to have to pass the cost on to somebody, well, like you, and you're going to pay more for an airline ticket.
You're talking about 8 inches of leg room. Do you have any idea how much that costs?
It's true. They'll pass it along. Some airlines have already jacked up the baggage fee, 25 to 50.
I have got to be really motivated to think about getting on an airplane.
It's
not the flight. The flight doesn't bother me, but everything that goes into it, especially traveling with you, where they shake you down all the time.
Let me tell you something, and we've said it before. What airlines have become flying is like just being on a flying bus. It's the same thing as if you were jumping on a dog. It's the same.
No, I think you're better off on a dog.
Yeah, you might be. It is just no luxury.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, last Friday, a 71-year-old gent in Greenwood, Indiana, named Roger Washburn, was enjoying spending some time with a good friend.
Oh, that's nice.
A friend he's known for over 50 years.
Oh, good times.
They go way back.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And while they were enjoying each other's company,
sure,
enjoying some good conversation, the topic came up over a certain song they were listening to and whether or not that song was being sung by Bruno Mars or not. 71-year-old Roger Washburn said, I'm sorry, friend. I know Bruno Mars. This ain't Bruno Mars. Meanwhile, his lifelong friend said, well, Roger, I think you're wrong on this one. That's Bruno Mars, I'm pretty sure. His friend then felt the need to prove it was Bruno Mars and invoke the internet.
Yeah.
It turned out the song, in fact, was being sung by Bruno Mars. Now, again, they've been friends for 50 years.
Yeah, both huge Bruno Mars fans.
When Roger was proven wrong, things turned even more heated. He didn't appreciate that.
Of course he didn't.
And to show his displeasure, he didn't go to the internet.
No.
He pulled out a pistol.
There you go.
His friend then had the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to tell Roger, a man he's known for 50 years, longer, that he wasn't man enough to use it, that he was chicken to use that gun. Puts Roger in a hell of a spot, doesn't it?
Yep, you pull a gun, you better be able to use it.
What to do?
Yep.
Well, Roger didn't want to shoot his friend.
50 years worth.
So he pistol whipped him.
Okay, good.
And the gun went off.
Ah, jeez.
Then his friend took a swing at him and missed, and somehow the gun went off again. Somehow, through all of this, no one was shot. People showed up at Roger's door a few hours later after the friend reported him. He is facing charges for battery and criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon.
Take a look at him. That is one Bruno Mars fan right there. It was just the other night. Haney and I were arguing over a Perry Como tune.
Wasn't Perry Como?
Well, and who was it then?
Al Martino.
Vic Damone.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday, September 25th.
Double M X V Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
Here he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Thank you, Howard. He's been busy.
Everything all right over there?
My computer froze up.
Okay, that's all right. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
Two men licensed by the Federal Communications Commission to broadcast on public airwaves.
Clear the air lanes. Clear all air lanes for the big broadcast.
R-A-D-I.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Roger Marley coming up next. He's got a safe word for you. Let's get a final look at traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a few things on the board here. Let's start North Fort Myers. Got a crash. Cleveland Avenue and Pine Island Road. And we have Fort Myers, disabled vehicle, Daniels Parkway and Metro Parkway. And in Bonita, got a crash, Riverview Center Boulevard at the Riverview Corporate Park.
Is there a river anywhere near there?
No, there is not. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Famous people are often rude because they're used to getting things really quickly. And I bet a lot of us are pretty polite. But as soon as we get things quickly, we start to get ruder and ruder. Like, look at technology. It's faster than ever, and we're, like, ruder than ever. People walk around on the phone now like, hello? Hello? You still there? Lost him. And that's it. No follow-through with that guy. 50 years ago, if you were on the telephone with your friend, and suddenly the line just went dead, that meant your friend was murdered. The phone used to be a big deal. It was a long, polite process. Back in the 1940s, the phone was like a wood box with a thing on it. I don't know. And there weren't even numbers. You just go, hello, hello, anyone? Ah, anyone in the world? And then you go, operator, ring me Neptune 5, 117. And the operator is a real person that you had to be nice to. And she'd be like, one moment, please. I'm putting wires into a board filled with holes to move the voices around, because it is the 40s. And it took like 90 minutes. Now people just drive around screaming at their phones like, call home! Calling Tom. Not Tom!
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We are the Stan and Haney Show. 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. James Corden had Tiffany Haddish on last night, and...
Am I supposed to know who that is?
Millennials.
Who's Tiffany Haddish?
Well, you know who Tiffany Haddish is, don't you?
I've never heard that name in my life.
Really?
Thank you.
She's a big star.
Okay, well, that's what I needed to know.
Yeah.
Because it's me, not her, right?
Yes.
I'm supposed to know
You're
who
supposed
she is.
You're supposed to know.
Do you know who she is?
No.
Okay.
She said she wanted to be a sex ed teacher. And yeah, she's in that millennial range. She has advice for young girls, young women, and young men. This was from James Corden.
If you were a teacher in real life, what subject would you teach?
I would teach sex education.
Lesson one is, what would you do?
Lesson one would be hygiene, because good hygiene equals good sex, right?
Amen.
I would tell the women, the young ladies in my class, like, look, you're going to have to take a bath at least once a week. You got to drown it, okay? You got to drown it. And put like a half a box of baking soda in there and get the pH balance right, okay? You want to keep your pH balance on deck. And fellas, you need to go ahead and put that hot dog in some hot water. Soak that thing in some baking soda as well. You scratching? That's yeast. That is not just jock itch or whatever. You're not trying. You yeasty, sir.
A little advice. Can we please have some laughter today? That That's too evil. 4 o'clock, 12
Don't
for 10.
Bring the hut into this.
Yeah, that was Jabba right there, wasn't it?
Yep.
I've just about had enough of you.
Get lost.
What's Mark? 3PO doing
yeah,
here?
I don't know.
The whole thing makes no sense.
Yeah. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
There, that's more like it.
Well, the fall TV season is upon us, and
whoop-de-doo.
From what I understand, it's the Big Bang Theory, followed by Young Sheldon.
Yeah, must see Thursday.
That'll bring up 3rd and 15.
This year, like last year, the best is right here on ABC.
Must see TV.
Yeah.
Following Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
That's really the only network TV I see anymore is promos during the game.
Yeah.
I go, boy, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah. If you throw on Red Zone, that all goes away, too.
That jerk.
Yeah, I know you don't like him.
Nope. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
fall TV shows targeting millennials.
Top TV shows targeting millennials. This ought to be just wonderful.
American Horror Story. Adulting. Better Call Saul. On your new iPhone XS.
Yeah!
Whatever that is. Buffy the Attention Span Slayer.
Come on.
Bob's Veggie Burgers. Six Feet Under, Student Debt. Kevin can wait to finish getting his college degree. Two and a Half Mansplainers.
That's my new favorite one.
That's hope right there, friend. There may be help on the way.
Yeah.
Two Woke Girls.
Love it.
You don't know.
Murder, She Snapchatted.
Yes!
And finally, the very top fall TV show targeting millennials.
Yes.
Curb Your White Privilege.
He has such a way with words.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.